What's cracking, big dogs? Welcome back to the channel, BDGE, to the headquarters. My name is Nicholas. Today, we're talking rookies. It's that time. It's time to dive into Dynasty content. It's time to dive into the rooks. I've been watching a lot of film, a lot of featured film on these guys. Last week, 2 weeks, as we start to head into NFL draft time, as we start to put our minds and focus into the Dynasty and Rookie Draft Guide that we have, helping y'all not fuck up your rookie drafts, helping y'all prep for startup drafts. As always, we will be doing tons and tons of startup drafts for you guys, okay? We're going to be doing Big Dogs Dynasty startup drafts, paid ones, $25, $50, $100, $250 for the primo out there, for the elitists, for the bi-coastal elitists out there. We're drinking blood today. I'm coming at you with venom. You'll have access to those leagues via our Discord, which you can get access to via our Patreon. So patreon.com/BDGE, y'all can sign up. But I do want to take a quick minute to let you know that the giveaway we're doing, bringing one of y'all out to NYC, you're going to stay at the headquarters for a night, two nights. I don't really know the logistics behind it. Thanks to Monkey Knife Fight. The giveaway ends as soon as the final down is played in the Super Bowl. The giveaway ends. Someone's going to win a round trip free, expenses paid, flight out to NYC. Someone's going to win a spot in a redraft league with myself and the BDGE team members. Someone's going to win a spot in one of the BDGE startup dynasty leagues. We got a whole bunch of giveaways going on. Literally, all you got to do is go to monkeyknifefight.com, deposit $10 using the promo code BDGE when you deposit, and play some games on there. Send me the screenshots of the player prop games that you'll be playing on the Super Bowl. Do it before the Super Bowl kicks off, and you will automatically be entered into the giveaway. MonkeyKnifeFight.com, when you deposit 10, use the promo code BDGE. They're going to match that. They're going to give you $20 to play with. Go play some games on there. Top five rookie running backs, my personal rankings right now. Tuck your shirt in. Stop yelling, and let's eat. All right, so a couple notes before we actually kick this thing off that I want to say. One, we're not going to have an NFL combine this year, which means all the numbers that we have metrics-wise, athletics-wise, have to come from a pro day. What I love Matt Kelly for doing over at Player Profiler is if they don't run at the pro day, or if they don't run at the NFL combine, he tacks on 0.05 to their 40-yard dash time. So if he runs a 4.65, he's actually going to have a 4.70 officially on the webs. I think that's a fair thing to do. I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, he ran this in the pro day, he ran this in his fucking high school team. Like, that shit doesn't matter. If all else is not equal, if things are not equal, I think it is best practice to add something onto it. Some teams are going to run in different weather. Some teams are going to run at different times. Other players are going to have a couple extra weeks to prepare for it because the pro days are different days. So when you get everybody at the combine, you get everybody in the exact same place at the exact same time, the exact same weather, under the exact same conditions, I think it's okay to use the same score. But when you start putting shit everywhere, giving different people different experiences, I think it makes sense to adjust the score. So just a note there, combine is not happening. We'll have to go off of pro day numbers, and I'll try to keep y'all up to date as we do these videos when the biggest pro days are going to be coming out. The other thing to note with these running backs, these are going to be my top five rookie running backs right now. I have not scouted everyone. I've watched film on probably like 10 running backs at the moment. And what I try to do is take like the consensus top 10 that I've seen kind of all around the internet from people that I respect. And, you know, if I take the consensus top 10, I'll probably find the top five guys within there, unless there's like a random like 12th or 15th ranked running back that I end up liking in the top five. That's just a note. And these are going to be very flowy throughout the preseason, throughout the offseason. These are my very initial rankings. Things are going to change based on different reports, based on the pro day reports, based on draft capital reports and things like that, and especially just where they land draft capital wise. Obviously, a lot to change here. One thing that's probably not going to change is our number one ranked running back, and that's Najee Harris out of Alabama. If he wasn't the RB1 going into the season, it was only because people like myself were enamored with Travis Etienne. Now, Najee Harris, man, Najee Harris, for those of y'all that don't know who Najee Harris is, time to wake the fuck up. 6'2", 230 pounds. 6'2", 230 pounds. But he is nimble, man. He is athletic, and that is an official size. That is an official weigh-in from the Senior Bowl. He's played 4 years at Alabama, and he jumps over Etienne, not because Etienne really fell off. I mean, he did have a little bit of a down year in terms of his numbers and what we might have expected. I don't even know why he came by, but it was because Najee Harris balled the fuck out. He won the Doak Walker Award, the top running back in the country. He led the SEC in rushing attempts, rushing yards, yards from scrimmage, almost like 1,900 yards from scrimmage, rushing touchdowns for the second straight year. He had 26 rushing touchdowns this year. If we remember back to 2015, Derrick Henry, another thick Bama running back, led the SEC with 28 rushing touchdowns. Najee Harris had 30 overall touchdowns this year. This dude is a fucking Mack truck. He's not quite Derrick Henry size at 6'2", 230, but he's probably the next biggest thing in both a physical and a metaphorical point of view, okay? So Najee Harris, while he has that size, he's also very athletic and he's very, very nimble. He's a dude who can break through the first line. He craves hurdling dudes like Eddie Lacy craves Chinese food. And I do think by the time the pro day comes around for Alabama, we'll see him drop a little bit of weight, maybe from 230 down to 226-ish, 224-ish, so that he can run a little bit of a faster time. But this dude probably going to be the first running back drafted this year. He's built more like an athletic back than just a really big back overall. And when you look at his profile, everything about it, there's nothing that stands out in a negative way. He checks almost every box as like an elite top tier running back. And from a fantasy perspective, what's most important is his ability to catch the ball. He's an absolute asset when it comes to the receiving game. He's not just one of those guys where you're like, oh, he can catch the ball. He can physically catch. He's someone who should earn targets at the next level. Statistically, when you look at what he did in the receiving game, his junior year, 27 catches for 304 yards, 11.3 yards per reception. That's volume, productiveness, explosiveness, 11.3 yards per reception, 7 receiving touchdowns his junior year. What does he do? He builds on it the next year. People were kind of doubting his receiving skills. 27 is more than enough for me to see. In a college season, if you have a 27 catch season on your resume, I'm good. I'm good right there. You don't really need to show me much else to show me that you can be an asset in the receiving game at the next level. But what does he do? He comes back for his senior year, packed it on with another 43 receptions, 425 receiving yards, 4 more receiving touchdowns, 9.9 yards per reception. So hovering at that 10 yards per reception mark, he adds 4 receiving touchdowns to his 26 rushing touchdowns. Realistically, the only downside you're going to hear about Najee Harris, and this won't relate to a lot of people in redraft, so if you're here for like season long stuff and you don't play much dynasty, it's literally his age. That's it. And it's valuing Najee Harris to these other non-rookie running backs when you're talking about trades. Being that he stayed and played all 4 years at Alabama, he's going to turn 23 in March. He'll be like 23 and a half by the time the NFL season actually kicks off. So he's older than a lot of running back prospects that came out last year, including Jonathan Taylor, DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Antonio Gibson, Cam Akers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Robinson, A.J. Dillon. He is older than every one of them. He's also barely younger than some of the guys, Josh Jacobs, Miles Sanders, David Montgomery, Ronald Jones, that came out 2 years ago. Ronald Jones somehow has been in the league for like 6 years, and he's still like 22 years old. So depending on how much stock you personally put into that, I know a lot of people, for whatever reason, they like to use the workload argument against Jonathan Taylor coming out, which was a stupid argument. I'd rather have seen somebody do it and be successful on a big workload than the opposite. Because a lot of the times when you see running back who have a very high production rate on a very limited sample size in college, it tends not to work out over the long run. Najee Harris is a little bit older, but it doesn't mean he's got the wear and tear of Jonathan Taylor if that is one of your concerns. Taylor had almost 1,000 college touches in 3 years. Najee Harris had 700 over 4 years. And he's obviously had to earn his keep while he's been at Bama, right? He's sharing a backfield with Damian Harris and a third round pick, Josh Jacobs, a first round pick, Bo Scarborough, another NFL player during his freshman year as a freshman. Not very easy to surpass anybody while you're a freshman in that Bama backfield. You got Jalen Hurts taking 154 carries when he was a quarterback there. So he had to wait for some of those guys to have their turn, get to the NFL, and then he took over for the final 2 years at Bama. And the dude runs with violence. He runs with patience. He has great fucking vision. According to Sports Info Solutions, 29.7% broken tackle rate. 29.7% broken tackle rate ranks fifth among 113 qualified running backs in the NCAA. He has everything you need to be a really good three down all around back on Sundays. Some of the comps that have been floated around, Matt Forte, I think DeMarco Murray makes a lot of sense. Le'Veon Bell, I think he's a little bit more violent than Le'Veon Bell, but he's got the patience and he's got that three down skill set. So those are the guys I'm thinking about. I'm thinking like a guy who can truck somebody, but also make a guy miss, but catch the ball, used in the screen game. As for where he'll go in the draft, I think there's a chance that he ends up slipping into the back end of the first round. I think there is a team that might be able, you know, if you want to get weird and talk about like the Bills or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or something, who's in like the late 20s, early 30s. I think the latest he'll last is early to mid second round. He'll be off the board by then though. Next up, as previously mentioned, we've got Travis Etienne out of Clemson, 5'10", 205 pounds. So a guy who's a little bit smaller in stature, and this is kind of the one concern for a guy like Travis Etienne. So if Harris isn't everybody's number one in the class, it's going to be Travis Etienne. I'm going to read this each year in the Big Dogs Dynasty Rookie Draft Guide, which will be on pre-order sale within the next week to 2 weeks, hopefully. I'll let y'all know. We do an article where we highlight the top five rookie running backs for the next year. So last year, we wrote it for the 2021 class. And in this, from Travis Etienne, this is quote-unquote from that article last year, the declaration heard around the world, and I'm not talking about the independents. What I'm talking about is way more important to the people of America. And that declaration was Travis Etienne's declaration to return to Clemson for his senior year. After bike-to-bike monster campaigns in 2018 and 2019 for the Clemson Tigers, it was an earthquake-sized shock for the dynasty world as a consensus top five rookie pick suddenly vanished back into the college pool. ETN returning for another year lets me know for certain one thing, and one thing only, that Clemson sorority girls give elite top. There was no other explanation. I don't know if I would say that Travis Etienne hurt his draft stock, but for the most part, his numbers were far lower on the rushing side of things in 2020 compared to what he did in 2018 and 2019. His receiving numbers were wild, though, and I'm pretty sure that is what he actually wanted. I think that's why he returned to school. I think he wanted to return to improve in the receiving game. I heard a couple quotes from when he first came into college that he actually was not a comfortable receiver. Like, he didn't feel good about catching the ball in open space and playing that three-down role, which is weird for someone as athletic as Travis Etienne is. So with Etienne, he wanted to return. He wanted to get better in that asset of the game. And man, did he fucking do it. On the rushing side, his yards per carry dropped from 5.6 or dropped to 5.6 down from 7.0. Clemson lost a lot of talent across the offensive line, which is obviously going to hurt him a little bit. You had four Clemson Tiger starters move to the NFL on the offensive line. In terms of yards before contact, this is from Pro Football Focus, PFL. Etienne saw just 1.8 yards before contact, which was below the NCAA average, which is crazy for a program like Clemson, this season compared to 2.8 in 2019 and 3.8 in 2018. So a lot more work to be done on the rushing side of things for Travis Etienne this year as compared to the previous years. And that was probably what led to the dip off in rushing production. The receiving side of things, though, I mean, he was great in his junior year when you talk about the third down work and catching the ball. 37 receptions for 432 yards, big number in college. He returns, he catches 48 passes, so he catches 11 more passes, 588 receiving yards, 12.3 yards per reception in his final year. The concern with a guy like Travis Etienne, I think he's a baller, I think he's awesome, I think he has a possibility of being the next Alvin Kamara or even Dalvin Cook, dare I say. The concern with Travis Etienne is not necessarily his size, but it's how NFL coaches view his size. That could be the problem. Listen to what I'm saying. Don't just hear it. Listen to it. If a guy like Alvin Kamara is not in Sean Payton's offense, do we have Alvin Kamara as the household name that we know him as right now? I'm hesitant to say that's the case. Maybe, maybe not. He's in a different offense, not used the same way he's used in New Orleans. Man, this shit could get weird. We've seen plenty of guys succeed at Travis Etienne's size. I hope he bulks up just a little bit, because it's usually those guys, like, you know, even the Alvin Kamaras and Dalvin Cooks, while they're like smaller in stature in a sense, they're still between that 210 to 215 pound range, where Etienne's down at like 205-ish. But we've seen guys like Aaron Jones, who I think is another, you know, reasonable comp in a sense for Travis Etienne, who's extremely explosive, who's great on the in the run game, he's great in the passing game, and can hit that home run on any play. He's shifty, he's explosive, he's great on the goal line. Etienne, I think, is a guy who's going to get a lot of love from NFL scouts, probably go high in the draft. I don't see him falling much further down from Najee Harris. I actually personally wouldn't be surprised. I would be surprised if Najee Harris wasn't the first running back off the board, but it wouldn't be like shocking. I wouldn't be shocked if Travis Etienne ended up getting drafted before Najee Harris. I think the best comp for a guy like Travis Etienne would probably be like an Aaron Jones or Kamara, who very, very good on third downs and very, very explosive and shifty. All right, so next up we have Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams, is it Javonte or Javonte? Gefilte-fish? Gefilte-fish? Gefilte-fish. Javonte Williams out of UNC. He's going to be a fun one this year, man. He is going to be a fun, hot debate topic for a lot of people. He came into UNC. He came into North Carolina at 195 pounds. He is currently thick. He's up to 220 pounds, so he's got that workhorse build. Now, you're going to go ahead and watch his 2020 film and see an absolute baller. You're going to look at his numbers this year. You're going to see 157 carries, 1,140 rushing yards, 19 rushing touchdowns, 25 catches, 305 yards, 2 receiving touchdowns. So you're looking at good rushing production. You're looking at high touchdown numbers, work in the receiving game, which you love to see. Only 11 games he did all that in. Statistics are there. You start looking at the advanced analytics and your jaw is about to slap the floor. Talking about broken tackle rate. So just, you know, pure elusiveness. And this is per Sports Info Solutions. Among 113 qualified NCAA running backs, Javonte Williams led the nation. 46.5% broken tackle rate. That is a ridiculously high number. First in the NCAA perspective, you have Najee Harris down at fifth at 29.7%. Travis Etienne, 24th, which is still, you know, in the top quarter percentile at 23.8%. So still 23% lower in the broken tackle rate department. Yards after contact per attempt, Williams 4.6, which ranked second in the NCAA among 113 qualified running backs. Here's what I'll say about Javonte Williams, man. I think he has just as good of a chance to be a stud at the next level as he does to be this year's Zach Moss or 2 years ago's David Montgomery. Now, I know David Montgomery is going to be another very polarizing player to talk about in fantasy this year, because we do have a year and a half sample size where he wasn't very good. He was completely average back that didn't really bring anything besides a floor to fantasy. In the last 4 or 5, 6 weeks of the fantasy season, he was a legit league winner, but playing against really, really shitty opponents. Like, where does the truth lie? And I think we're going to get a lot of that with Javonte Williams. There are going to be people that watch his film and they say, oh shit, like, I like him. He's my RB1. There will be people out there that put Javonte Williams as their RB1. There will be people out there that look at Javonte Williams and see that Michael Carter, his backfield mate, produced at a higher level than he did. And just because someone is elusive with that broken tackle rate, again, we saw it with Zach Moss last year, his college numbers. This is a guy that, like, PFF is going to love. Because if you're elusive, they're like, you're like automatically their number one ranked running back. And we've seen it back-to-back years. We've Zach Moss, David Montgomery. I think he kind of fits in this mold. So you watch the film and these guys do everything you want. He can break tackles. He has the requisite size. But for some reason, just it doesn't always translate to the NFL field. The other thing to note is, like, he played in the ACC, and someone on Twitter randomly sent me this chart just looking at the defenses that he played against. And this was, you know, one of my concerns with a guy who just has a really high elusive rating and plays in the ACC is, like, the games against the top-ranked running backs or the games against the top-ranked defenses versus actual good defenses are huge, huge splits here. He did almost all of his damages against shit defenses. And you can't write him off because he played in the ACC, because obviously Travis Etienne did that too, but I think it's something to note. I also think it's interesting to note that he does use his size, like, he runs with his size. He uses his size to his advantage with the 220 pounds, which is interesting because when you come into college at 195 pounds, you're probably used to being a small, it's like basketball players who were point guards all the way up until, you know, they just hit a random growth spurt and then they have to become power forwards or centers. Those guys are so used to dribbling the ball. They like taking the ball up. They like shooting. It's why you see so many fucking 6'10" guys in the NBA shooting three pointers all the time, because they probably grew up as like 6'2" guys and they were handling the ball a lot. They shoot a lot. That's what I would expect to see from Javonte Williams, someone who likes to be a little bit more shifty than he does to use his power. But he's a guy you cannot take down by his legs. Good short burst for his size. He's definitely a good pass catcher. And the thing that sets him apart from other guys, as I mentioned in the opposite direction for Najee Harris, he's only 20 years old right now. Only 20 years old. You look at Zach Moss coming out last year, he was older. He's 23 right now. Keyshawn Vaughn is 24 years old. Javonte Williams, 20 years old. So that's a huge positive in his fucking ledger. My overall take is this. I do think he's a very good all-around running back. Without a doubt, deserves to be in everybody's top five rookie running back rankings. Probably, I mean, he's my three right now. I think the closer we get to actual rookie drafts for dynasty people, I think he's going to start going higher and higher and higher. I think he's going to end up being like a top five in one quarterback leagues. He'll probably end up being a top five pick. Najee Harris and the Travis Etienne's and the Jamar Chase's, Devontae Smith's. And then after that, there will be the Rashad Bateman debates. There will be the Jalen Waddle debates. There will be those kind of guys. But I think Javonte Williams is going to be right there and in a different class. Like last year, had Javonte Williams been in last year's class, he would have been probably the RB like 6 or 7 behind those top guys. It still would have been Taylor, CEH, Swift, Dobbins, Akers. I think he probably would have been in the argument where like Antonio Gibson was going. So just to give you a little bit of a view of how I view him respective of last year's rookie class, that's where he would be. He would not be up with those other guys at this point. I do think it's Najee Harris. I do think it's Travis Etienne. I think Harris is in his own tier. I think Etienne is in a tier above Javonte Williams, but I could see a lot of people making the case for it. And if you just look at the film, this is a guy where he brings it on film. He does bring it on film. He has a lot of good, nice highlight plays, but I think he can be inconsistent at times. And I think that's going to lead to everybody getting a little bit bored and everybody wanting running backs on their team and kind of pushing him up a little bit higher. I do see him similar to Zach Moss. I see him as like a leaner, more shifty or more athletic type Zach Moss. I think he fits in that like James Conner, Mark Ingram role-ish, where he could be a very good two down back. He could be the goal line back, so he can have very productive fantasy seasons without a doubt, where he comes off as an RB1, and in the right situation, he could be a pass catcher, right? Like James Conner ended up catching 55, 60 passes 1 year, but he's not a great pass catcher. You know what I'm saying? Like you could put up great numbers and not be a great pass catcher. So I think he fits more in that mold than he does some of the ridiculous comps that I've seen thrown around Twitter. So he's going to be my RB3. Now, once you hit RB4, it's there for the taking for anybody. This class kind of, you know, there's a couple good backs at the top. And then in terms of like tier breaks, it's all hell breaks loose. A lot of people are going to talk about the Kenny Gainwells and the Trey Sermons and maybe the Chuba Hubbards and those type of guys. But my number four running back right now, Ramondre Stevenson out of Oklahoma. He is a fucking beast. Najee Harris, 6'2", 230. Ramondre Stevenson, 6', 227 pounds. Reese's Senior Bowl official. He's also a little bit old. He's 23 years old. He played all 4 years of college ball. But he also took a year off after high school before he played college ball. There's a lot of context to put behind this kid. A lot of people probably haven't heard of him there. He's not like a big time elite prospect right now. He'll continue to gain more and more hype as the draft process goes forward. So basically, he broke his foot his senior year, like very early on in his senior year of high school. He broke his foot, which led to him missing that year, which led to all the college offers dropping off the table for him. He was trying to figure out his life and get his shit together. So he didn't have the offers. He broke his foot. He took a year off of college because of that. And the only places that he can go play after taking a year off and having a year of a broken foot, so you're talking about like 2 years removed from his best year, were offers to a junior college. Now, his profile, I want to give you context because his profile is definitely littered with red flags, and I think it's really important to get the, we don't follow these guys for the most part. I'm not a Devy guy, so I'm not following their entire college career and not going to be able to kind of tell you off the rip. So I do a lot of research when I want to get context behind guys I like. So he's a JUCO transfer from this college, Cerritos College in California. He played there for 2 years before transferring to Oklahoma. He went nuts at junior college, as you fucking should if you're an NFL draft prospect. Rushed for over 2,000 yards, 16 touchdowns at his final year at that college. So he gets his shot at Oklahoma, and he's sharing a backfield with Kennedy Brooks, who's a kid who rushed for 1,000 yards in both his freshman season and his sophomore season. So you're talking about a real NFL prospect, along with Trey Sermon, who transferred over to Ohio State. So he transfers over to Oklahoma, and he's sharing the backfield with two NFL prospects already, along with Jalen Hurts, who took a bunch of carries in 2019. So he didn't get a ton of work in his first year there, only 64 carries, but he averaged 8 yards per carry on those 64 carries. He then got suspended at the end of that year for a failed drug test, marijuana, before the Peach Bowl. So he missed that game as well as 5 games going into the 2020 season. And then he comes back with a vengeance. Final 6 games of the year. So he plays in 6 games after serving the 5-game suspension. In 6 games, 101 carries, 665 yards on the ground, 6.6 yards per carry, 7 touchdowns, catches 18 passes for 211 yards. Very involved. Immediately becomes a workhorse once he gets off that. He finishes his Oklahoma career, 1,180 rushing yards and 13 touchdowns on just 165 carries. 7.2 yards per carry. Let's look at the analytics. Fifth highest elusive rating per PFF among 96 qualified running backs in 2020. His broken tackle rate per Sports Info Solutions, 33.7%. Third in the NCAA. Remember, Javonte Williams, number one. Ramondre Stevenson, number three. His yards after contact per attempt, 3.9, seventh in the NCAA. So that 18 reception number is big for me, because remember, he only played in 6 games. So you're talking about 3 receptions per game. So you're talking about a guy that's 230 pounds, really big, very good on early downs. Remember, 7.2 yards per carry, but can also catch the ball. 3 receptions per game, 18 receptions. There's a lot of running backs that are NFL draft prospect profile guys that don't catch 18 passes in a season, let alone a 6-game season. So dudes that can move like this, third highest elusive rating per Sports Info Solutions, with his size, can catch passes. They not only have my attention, but they got my big ass brain's attention, both upstairs and downstairs. Now, the failed drug test could be a negative in some teams' eyes, which can cause him to drop pretty significantly in the draft boards. But I think NFL teams are kind of, you know, they're over that shit. It's literally like state laws are being changed so that marijuana is like no longer illegal. So I don't think NFL teams are really going to dock him for that. Stevenson is a guy that I think has the potential for his draft capital to rise as much, if not more, than any running back in this class right now. Rumor has him running like a four, you know, mid four fives, which at his size at 230 pounds would give him a really, really, really high speed score. And again, you give a guy with a speed score that high that can also catch the ball, I'm in. The limited sample size is obviously a red flag, but I think he's one of the best value picks right now in rookie drafts, and I'm going to have him ranked really high as long as this draft process goes smoothly for him. I think if he runs really well, if he does really well at his pro day, I think we could see him bump up anywhere to the late second round all the way down to probably like the fourth or fifth round, which could be a problem. At that point, if he's like, you know, fifth round pick, he's more just like a high upside pipe dream that we're not going nuts for. I would love to see him go to the Falcons, where we just added Arthur Smith, and use him as our Derrick Henry. That would be a beautiful landing spot. So Ramondre Stevenson, go watch some tape, go watch some film. And this is from my boy at Noah Moore Parties on Twitter. Really, really good Dynasty Devy follow when it comes to running back draft prospects. So go give him a follow. He said, and here's every running back drafted since 2005 to enter the league at least 230 pounds while posting a receiving chop score and rushing efficiency above 50 plus Ramondre Stevenson, sorted by rushing efficiency score. The list of guys on this list that meet those criteria: Ramondre Stevenson, Ronnie Brown, Nate, whoever the fuck that is, Jeremy Hill, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette, Mikel LeShore, and Tony Hunt. So there's a lot of big hits on there. I would say more than half of those, you know, Ronnie Brown, Jeremy Hill, Eddie Lacy, Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette, even Mikel LeShore had a little bit of spotlight. Remember that one game he ran for like 3 touchdowns? That shit was crazy. So he's in pretty good company, given his size, his speed, his receiving scores, man. I really like Ramondre Stevenson as my number 4. The number 5 running back on my list will be brought to you by my beautiful skin, which is brought to you by Geology. I fucking love Geology. I know y'all are not here to talk about skincare, but listen, it's 2020. It's okay to take care. 2020, we taking care of ourselves. 2021, no, I lied. 2020, we definitely weren't taking care of ourselves. 2021, we taking care of ourselves, fellas. It's okay to wash your face. It's okay to have nice skin. It's okay to not age. You know what happens between the ages 22 and 30? You age like your shit is in fast forward. It's gross because you're still drinking. You're still eating shitty because you think you're young, but you're not. You're not. You get old really fucking quickly. Your skin starts to look disgusting. And before you know it, you're 22 going on 45. You know, the way to combat that is cleaning yourself, cleaning your face. I didn't know shit about skincare. Like, I literally didn't know a damn thing about skincare. And then Geology kind of popped up into my feed. I had been using them way prior to them jumping into the videos with me, which is what makes this partnership fucking awesome. Geology is basically like for dudes that don't know anything about skincare. They make it wildly, wildly easy. I promise if you start now, you will be really, really happy that you did so. Geology does is basically you go on there, you take a quick quiz. It basically asks about your skin color and like the type of irritation that you get and what you're looking for in terms of goal. Like, I want to reduce wrinkles. I want to reduce dry skin. I want to reduce whatever the fuck it is for your personalized skin. You take a quick quiz. It takes like 2 minutes and then it gives you a sample pack. It tells you a sample pack. Like, we're going to ship this to you. This is going to be a month trial and it's really easy. It takes like 5 minutes. And when you do the month trial, you're going to fucking love it, but try it out first. And when you do so, it's really cheap already. I want to say it's like $23 for the entire month. And when you use a promo code BIGDOG30, you're going to get 30% off. BIGDOG30. Geology, okay? I will link it down below. I will link it in the show notes. I will link it on the top of the comment section. It's Geology. Ooh, that's nice and crispy. Wash your face. You put a little bit of moisturizer on it. That's all you got to do. If you wash your face, you're ahead of the game. 99% of dudes out there in America and wherever in the world don't even wash their face, okay? You're so far ahead. Just get the oils off your face. You're going to be feeling way better about yourself. You're going to be looking a lot younger, a lot spryer, a lot more energetic. We're all about fucking energy over here, and that's what Geology brings to the table. Go check out Geology. Go take the quiz real quick and use Big Dog 30 for 30% off your first month's trial. Let's move on to running back five. Now, man, I don't even know who to put as my running back five, to be honest with you. Again, I mean, there's the Kenny Gainwells, there's the Trey Sermons, there's the Chuba Hubbards. I like Michael Carter a lot, Javonte Williams' teammate, UNC. But my number five for right now is this kid, Jermar Jefferson from Oregon State. 5'10", 217 pounds. So he's got that perfect size for an NFL running back to be able to handle, you know, 16 to 20 touches on the rip. He is the co-Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year in 2020. Now, I think there are pros and cons for Jefferson. Now, he is my number five in a class that's not particularly really strong at the running back position. So, of course, there are going to be some red flags. There are going to be some cons to him. But there's a lot of good, right? Again, he's got the size. 5'10", 217 pounds. Huge college dominator rating in the 80th percentile. Went crazy and broke out as a true freshman. Over 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns. Fell off his sophomore year, but he had a big 2020 bounce back in just six games. 925 yards from scrimmage and seven touchdowns in just six games this year. He is an absolute big play waiting to happen. He was like routinely ripping off 40 plus yard runs. I'm really, really curious to see what he does at his pro day and what he does in terms of running the 40 yard dash. If he can run with legit NFL like top end speed, you know, low four fours to mid four fours, I will like him a lot more as a prospect for a few reasons, because it seemed like every run he had was either 40 yards or 4 yards or fewer, like no in between. I also don't think he's very elusive, just on like a make guys miss, like shifty, agile kind of thing. When you watch the film, you're going to be like, oh, he is lateral and he is shifty, but it's not really effective. Like, he doesn't make guys miss with him moving side to side. He's also like legitimately the least powerful back I've ever seen at 220 pounds. Like, you'll see a few highlight plays on Twitter of being like, he's so tough. Like, he's so big. Like, look at this one time he ran a guy over and went for 3 extra yards on this broken tackle. Like, for the most part, though, consistently, he is very not powerful. Why I'm enamored with the 40-yard dash, because if his speed only looks good because he's playing against Pac-12 and they're only playing against bad defenses and his offensive line, which is opening up massive holes, it might be a problem at the NFL level if he can't actually make guys miss and he's not elusive. But if he's got legit speed, I'd like him a lot more. And again, like, when I do these rookie write-ups and rookie analysis and watch the film, I'll tell you, oh, I don't think Jermar Jefferson is that elusive. And then you'll go on Twitter and see 10 guys who are like, Jermar Jefferson, so good, so elusive, whatever. So these are all subjective film takes. So what I want to do is I want to dive into the numbers. So I went to Sports Info Solution to look at his broken tackle rate, to look at his elusiveness. Again, 114 qualified running backs with 100 or more carries in the NCAA this year. For perspective, again, Javonte Williams up at number one, 46.5% broken tackle rate. Ramondre Stevenson, number three, 33.7%. Trey Sermon, number five, 30.2%. Najee Harris at number 10, Michael Carter at number 17, Etienne at number 22. Took me a hot minute to find Jermar Jefferson. ranks 108th out of 114 qualified running backs with a broken tackle rate of 9.8%. So he's on the college level, breaking a tackle once every 10 carries. It's not great, fellas. It's not great. Now, while I do think he's better than that 9.8% broken tackle rate, it's probably a weakness in his game, which, again, can be overlooked if he has real speed to combine with that body size. Now, as far as receiving goes, I'm a little bit torn here because he caught 25 balls as a freshman, which should typically be all you need to know, all you need to see, but it was 5.9 yards per reception. Now, I'm not going to, like, pick apart every rookie and be like, this number looks off, but this number looks off, and blah, 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 blah. But 5.9 yards per reception, like, that's awful. When you have the volume of 25 catches, is good, but it can pretty much be explained by the fact that all these were just very, very short dump-offs, which lead to a 5.9 yards per reception number, which is why I get more excited with rookie running backs or these prospects when their yards per reception is a higher number. That means you're making plays in the passing game. You're either making guys miss, or you're actually being targeted downfield, which it doesn't seem to be the case. So we have that big volume number his freshman year, and then the next 2 years, he does almost nothing. This year, he starts off on fire. Week one, he catches 5 passes for 50 yards. Over their final 5 games, Oregon State's final 5 games, he catches a total of 4 passes for 17 yards. Over his last 2 years at Oregon State, he plays in a combined 15 games. He catches 18 passes for 152 yards. That is not good for the passing. So I'm more leaning on the side of him not being great in the passing game. Maybe he can contribute if he's targeted a lot, but I don't think he's somebody who's going to earn targets at the next level. So you're looking at a guy who's not very elusive, who might need to be better in the passing game in order to actually be a three-down guy, but he's got the three-down size, and he might have legit breakaway speed. Because a guy that's 220 pounds that could break these 40, 60, 80-yard runs like he was doing routinely in college has to get your attention, okay? So I'm putting him up at number 5 right now, but it is very, very close behind him. I think you could probably mix in a carousel of like 1,000 other dudes. That is my very, very early look at my top 5 rookie running backs for the 2021 NFL draft class. Let me know who y'all like. Let me know who I left off. Do not fucking write Chuba Hubbard's name on there because he is not a top 5 running back in this class. That guy stinks. He's the worst running back to run for 2,000 yards since fucking Darrell Henderson. I didn't like him coming out of college either. Again, go check out Geology for your skincare, people. Go take care of yourselves. 2021. We doing it, fellas. Geology, use promo code BIGDOG30 once you take the quiz on there. Monkey Knife Fight, the giveaway ends Sunday. Soon as kickoff hits on Super Bowl Sunday, you miss your chance to come hang out in NYC with your mans. That was it. You got your chance for the next 5-6 days, and then you blew it. MonkeyKnifeFight.com. Posit $10 and use the promo code BDGE when you do so. It's going to give you 20 to play with. Go throw some down on the Super Bowl prop games and send me screenshots of it. I love y'all. I'm out. Hit the thumbs up if you enjoyed. Subscribe to the channel if you're new. I'll see you tomorrow on Fade the Public. All right, podcast listeners, kicking flavor in your ear. Thank you for sticking around and staying this long. If you enjoyed, if you got some informational value from it, if you were entertained for whatever reason, make sure you drop a rating and review. And if you do so, I will feature you on next week's podcast. All love. Till next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.